Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus, sitting in this segment for Joe Donahue, and it's my pleasure to have some guests with us from the Ghent Playhouse, who will present John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath, the classic saga of displaced heartland Americans during the Dust Bowl Depression. And performance dates begin March 23rd, May 23rd. That'd be some trick. So opening night is on the horizon here. The production is being directed by one of our guests, Joe Phillips, and it runs through June the 8th. Renowned, obviously, as a great American novel and then a prize-winning motion picture, the story of the Joad family and their flight from the Dust Bowl of Oklahoma is familiar to most. The American classic celebrates its 75th anniversary this year. And here to tell us about the Ghent Playhouse and the production are the director, Joe Phillips, actor Kevin Barhite, who plays Tom Joad, and Judy Staber, a board member and PR handler for the Ghent Playhouse. Thank you all for being here. Welcome to the Roundtable.
Morning.
Thank you.
Let's start with you, Judy, and tell us a little bit about the Ghent Playhouse and how it came to be in its current place.
Well, the Ghent Playhouse started, going into our 40th season.
Amazing.
And it started as the Columbia Civic Players all over the place, and then the Ghent, former Ghent Town Hall, was empty, and they purchased it for a small amount of money from the town of Ghent. And they then became the Ghent Playhouse in 2002, I think it was, exactly. But we changed the name. We do five productions a year, and we are all volunteer. We have a board of volunteers, all of whom handle different aspects. I do the public relations and a lot of other stuff. Our artistic director, Kathy Lee Vischer, puts out every year the choice of plays and the directors who want to direct them, hence Joe. And then the casting begins, and actors come from all over, Berkshire's, Albany area, Dutchess County, Columbia County.
Sure. Well, we'll meet some of the artistic side of this production in a minute. Just wanted to touch a little bit on the challenges of running an all-volunteer theater. You know, the theater is always kind of on a shoestring, I think. And what's that like?
Well, it's tough. And it's getting tougher because the volunteer level is getting harder. First of all, there are a lot of little theaters around.
Sure.
And everybody wants a technician, a lighting person, a set designer, and actors and people our ushers are all volunteers, but they get to see the show and they only have to do it once. But then we have people who really work very hard for a long time on a production.
Sure.
So, and we actually still get them, but if people want to get involved in theater, and I'd like to mention that Metroland said we were the best community theater in the area.
Bravo.
Yes.
Congratulations.
We're very proud of that. And if people want to get involved, they can call the theater. And I've got the website and the number to call for tickets.
Let's take care of all of that housekeeping at the end of the segment.
Right.
First, let's kind of sell the people on the show. And to do that, maybe we'll meet director Joe Phillips.
Morning.
How did you get involved with this production of The Grapes of Wrath?
Well, I've been very, very active in local community theater for quite some time, and I've performed and worked at Ghent Playhouse in the past. And submitted this particular production as a suggestion to them, dear Lord, going on about 2 years ago.
Knowing it was the 75th anniversary coming up, or was that just a lucky stroke?
Tell you the truth, that was completely not on my radar when we started out with this. This was selected by the theater about a year and change ago, and been working on it ever since.
Tell us a little bit about the production. Obviously, you know, a lot of people have read the book in high school or college and seen the movie, but the show is an adaptation. There's a lot of detail that, you know, translates from the book and the movie into the show, of course, but there's a lot that's not in there.
This is a production that was first put together by the Steppenwolf Theater Collective out in Chicago back in 1990. Frank Gallaty, who's the resident director with Steppenwolf, and his actors put this together, and it's properly called John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath because they went back to the source material. Of course, There have been a number of adaptations of this over the years, including the very well-known John Ford film. It's amazing to me just how much of the novel actually makes it into a 2.5-hour play. The novel is crammed with incident, and it also has this voice that John Steinbeck imparts to it that's very poetic throughout. And it's tremendous how much of that found its way into the Steppenwolf production.
Did you assign your cast any reading, you know, getting ready for the show?
I did not. I certainly suggested that to a lot of the cast, but I think that the script is fairly complete, and I spent a fair amount of time rereading and re-rereading the novel before putting this thing on its feet to try and preserve that voice that Steinbeck puts in it.
I'm always interested in theater companies as they approach opening night, which, you know, is a couple days away here for you. Do you ever feel ready?
That's an interesting question to ask about this production particularly. This is a very complicated beast, and it's very much an ensemble piece of work. And of course, among the other issues that Judy was sort of alluding to in terms of the volunteer atmosphere of community theater is finding enough actors to be able to put something like this on its feet. We've had to adapt some of our original plans as far as the casting of it goes, but it relies on a cast of 21 and 3 live musicians to put this on, and there's a huge number of elements to the production which are still joining us nightly in rehearsals. So it's required a lot of adaptability and a lot of flexibility on the cast, which has been just tremendous. They've really taken a lot of the complexity of this thing in stride.
Well, let's meet our Tom Joad. What an iconic part to pick up, obviously. How did you approach this specific role, Kevin?
I think that the focus I had at first, and thanks again for having us here today.
Sure,
it's really such a pleasure to be here. I've been spending a lot of time. I work at Union College, and I'm spending a lot of time speaking with different people at Union College, other professors who have different just ideas about what the character means, either Tom Joad or even Ma. I found that it was important for me to understand each one of the characters, Casey, the preacher, Ma Joad, and the matriarchal change that we really see, not just in her character, but in the country at that time. So I spent a lot of time doing some history lessons for myself, but also the philosophical ways of looking at how Tom changes. It's not just Tom changing, of course, it's the country changing. It's not just the country changing physically, it's the people changing and their mentality. So I did a lot of, I think, looking at that from a purely actor's point of view, looking at the character and the role that I play. It was difficult because I don't think my mother's 85 years old, and she was raised in the Depression and a child of the Depression. I haven't seen anything like this in my life. At least I didn't think I had. But we've all had trauma. We've all had things that we can really hearken back to. And some of that work that I had to do was somewhat difficult, looking at some times in my life when I really thought there was very little hope. And this work has often been seen as a depression era and maybe a depressing kind of work. And it's not. It's full of hope and it's full of joy. And people who want joy and need joy and are striving for joy. Mine was I lived in Brooklyn, 10 minutes away from when the towers fell. And watching the smoke come over and watching the dust settle on my car and not wanting to bring my children outside and losing my job, spending a year taking jobs that I never had worked at before and didn't want to work for. I never really had to dig that up to even look at that, but it's starting to understand that that was my path, that was my journey. And each one of us has similar journeys, whatever it might be. I didn't really want to grab that and take that with me. It was just really helpful for me to understand that it isn't every man's dilemma. It isn't every man's piece.
Do you, you know, you can look at the ending in many different ways and kind of take your own meaning from where the play ends. Do you find yourself liking Tom Joad as you kind of leave the part each day?
I do. I find that it's interesting you use the word liking, and it's been hard for me to understand whether or not I would love Tom Joad, and I think it's important for my perspective as an actor to really care for my character, not just enjoy him, not just care in a superficial way, but actually have some kind of a deep love. And I actually have changed every day and almost every week. And even as of yesterday, one of the little things, I had to add some blood to me after a fight scene yesterday. And I had to add the blood. It was the first time we did it in rehearsal. And that changed so much. It helped me to understand the hurt wasn't just internal, it was also physical. There was things that were happening. And I really have come to appreciate and become Tom rather than just see him as something historical.
Let's shift over to Joe again. This is a play about family, and it's about family in crisis. How are you, kind of managing the actors here and their relationships on stage and in terms of the larger text?
I think one of the really critical things about this play, I've had any number of people ask me as we were in process of this, why did you pick such a depressing play? And I think it's not depressing. It's inspiring in a lot of ways. I think one of the key things that Steinbeck was trying to address was the kindness of people, the gallantry of them in difficult circumstances. It's a depressing circumstance that the characters in this play find themselves in, but they reach out to each other. They continue to fight their way through the difficulties that they face. They, in the depths of the worst things that happen to them, they find quite literally the milk of human kindness to be able to share with others on the road. And that is a gallantry. In a radio interview, Steinbeck, at the time that his novel was published, was asked what he considered the core of the play. And he said, since our race admires gallantry, I find it where I deal with it where I find it. And I find it in the struggling poor. That's the heart of what's going on in this play. It's a family that is struggling against injustice, against the world, against nature. and they manage to continue to move on. And they learn something about themselves spiritually along the way. There are two key characters in the play, Tom and the Reverend, who are struggling with where is God in all of these things that's happening to us, and they come to an understanding of what it means to be filled with the Spirit.
Yeah, sure. And I think all theaters have experienced this. You'll find another layer of meaning once you have an audience beginning the 23rd. The Ghent Playhouse production of The Grapes of Wrath opens May 23rd. It runs through June 8th on Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2. And Judy, more information is available by calling 800-838-3006 or visiting ghentplayhouse.org. We have that information at wamc.org. Joe Phillips, Kevin Barhite, Judy Staber, thank you so much. Good luck with the production. And it's been great to have you here on The Roundtable.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you, Ian.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.